Thank you for these children. I thank you for the opportunity to be children, to play, to run, to sled, to throw snowballs, to just enjoy and have fun in your creation. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we are all a people invited to be a part of your joyous vision for us. We pray that we can be childlike in our wonder and our trust and hear the invitation to come and see. We pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. All right, guys, if you would, please go and join your friends and your church family out in the congregation. From the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. About this time last year, I made the decision to go on the Soapstone mission trip to El Salvador. We went this past summer in 2016, and as many of you know, this was the second time that Soapstone had taken a mission group to El Salvador. They had gone a couple years earlier. And when I made that decision, particularly when I announced that decision, those of you who had gone on the previous trip came to me and shared about your stories and your experiences and your interactions there so that I could be better prepared and have a sense of what it was exactly I'd gotten myself into. Many of you told me about Brian, the host missionary there from Rocky Mount. You told me about the work we would be doing with Vacation Bible School kids and construction. You told me about the accommodations and the transportation. You told me in a lot of detail about the stomach bugs you received and the various impacts they had on your digestional tracts. I arguably could have done without that one. But there was a great deal of vivid, wonderful description. And while I appreciated that, it's still a very different thing when I actually went in July and got to personally, firsthand experience what it was like to walk out of the airport and feel that hot, sticky El Salvadorian air upon my skin. To go and to meet Brian and meet the other missionaries and see for myself their smile and their passion. To go to the construction site and run my shovel as we try to mix the concrete and see how heavy and hard that is. To go and play on the floor with little children as we lead VBS songs and get to know some of their names and their stories and their beauty. And I think it's important as we enter in this time to realize that there's an important difference between description and encounter. One can have a place or a story or even a person described in great and wondrous detail, and it can be illustrative and it can be helpful and it can be just exciting and interesting and it can be wonderful in itself, but it's a whole new level to actually personally experience that place or that person or that situation. And we see this at work in the passage for today. For you have in the first several verses John the Baptist offering a description of Jesus. Jesus is walking towards him. Jesus does an odd amount of walking in this passage, but Jesus is walking towards him, and John turns to his followers and he says, "Look, there, that is the Lamb. That is the Son of God. That's who he is." And then he goes on to describe how that Jesus is the real deal. He is everything that John the Baptist himself was just a precursor, a pointer, a holding place, an inspiration. But Jesus was the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the one that they should follow. Jesus was the one who was the start of the movement. He tells his followers this. He tells them that he knows this because God himself had told John that the Holy Spirit would descend upon someone, and that someone was the Son of God. He explains all of this to his followers using a lot of words. Meanwhile, Jesus says nothing. few verses later, we learn that Jesus comes back the next day. And Jesus starts walking along, and the followers of John become followers of Jesus, literally. They're following behind, and Jesus turns around and says, "What are you looking for?" One of those just kind of soul-turning questions that Jesus alone would ask. What are you looking for? And these followers respond, not with an answer, but with a question. And they say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And then Jesus says these three words spoken to them many, many years ago and spoken to us today and now 2017. Jesus says, "Come and see." Jesus doesn't go on about who he is and describe his baptism and his birth and how he descends from David. He doesn't give a long description. No, he says, "Come and see. Come and experience for yourself. Come and feel what it's like to be in my presence. Have an encounter." A description is good and well and nice, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus is inviting them and us to do, to come and experience, to be a part of his story and his movement and his change. And yet, it's hard to do that. It's hard to move from this Jesus who we've been told about, who we read about, who our grandmothers and grandfathers have witnessed to, but perhaps has remained merely a description. And yet, we want to become a people who have this living, real, true encounter with this Jesus and this divine. So how do we make that shift happen? And as I asked that question of this text, it struck me that it suggests that we do it in two ways, both coming back to that phrase, "come and see." The first way that we make that shift happen is that we go and stay with Jesus. Remember, the followers, they said, Where are you staying? And Jesus says, "Come and see." Now, when he says this, when they say, "Where are you staying?" that staying is not so much a place or a guest room. It's not that small. In the Greek, it's a much bigger understanding. It's more like, where are you staying? Where are you permanently abiding? Where are you dwelling? What are you like? What is your worldview? What are your teachings? It's stay is a very narrow translation. It's a much bigger meaning to it. And so Jesus is saying, come and see and be part of where I stay. What is going on in my world and my hope? And this is a really role reversal for us. We're used to inviting God and Jesus in particular, praying specifically to Jesus to come and stay with us. One of my favorite Taizé songs is the song, "Stay With Us," where you repeat the refrain again and again, "Stay with us, God, stay with us. Night will soon come." It has a haunting tune, but a beautiful one. And I love it because it's so often my personal and my pastoral prayer as I pray to God, heartfelt, stay with us. Stay in the moment, this moment. Stay in this hospital room. Stay in this marriage. Stay in this place of brokenness and hurt. Stay with us and offer us your peace and your hope and your goodness and your will. Stay with us. And yet, this is a reversal. For in this passage, Jesus is saying, come and see, and come not God coming to us, but we are called to go and stay with Jesus. Stay in the place that he abides. Stay in the place where he is working. Stay in the place where his word and his story is being told. We are called to be the actors who are making the movement to go and to stay with him. And frankly, we don't do that very well. We have a hard enough time just staying with other humans, much less staying with God. I was thinking back on early last week how I wrote Dana Tiller, who's helping with the Cub Scouts, the God and Me class. And I wrote her an email and I said, listen, I looked at my schedule coming up and I've got 7 nights in a row and 6 of them I have church activities. And while I'm happy to attend church activities, I also like to be home with my family some. And so 6 of 7 nights in a row seems like a lot. Is it okay that last night, if you would be willing to teach the class on your own so that I can be home and, you know, have supper with the family and do homework and put the kids to bed and all that stuff? And she wrote back and she's like, sure, I'd love to, no problem. Then the snow hit. And I was with my family nonstop for 4 days. And I wrote Dana back and I said, can I please come and teach the Cub Scout badge class? I'll teach anything you want. Just let me be there. We have a hard time being with people, even people we love. And yet God is saying, come and be with me. Carve out the time. Make the effort. Think what it would be like to intentionally be in my word, be in my story. Stay with me. Which brings me to the second point. When we are called to be a people who stay with Jesus, we are called to be a people who stay with his vision and his future and his story. It's not so much a place as it is a trajectory. And I love how that those 3 words are distinctively future-oriented. Come and see what Jesus is all about. Come and see what Jesus is bringing into action. Come and see the world and the conviction and the story and the transformation. Come and see God's vision and God's hope and God's promised land. Come and see. A few verses later, we have Jesus being introduced as the Messiah. Andrew goes to his brother Simon. It says, come, I found him. It's the Messiah, the anointed. But the Messiah in itself is a name that's very future-oriented because it says the role that Jesus is to play in the lives of the Jewish people. He is the Savior. He is the rescuer. These things he will do. It is a vision. It is a place. And God is calling us to see it, to be there. And to be honest, we struggle with seeing the future. We struggle in our own lives. I mean, think how much difficulty we have talking and thinking about our 401ks or investment plans or college saving plans or our wills and all of that stuff. Think how much more challenging it is to think not just on our own future, but to think on the future that God has put out for us. It's challenging because it's hard to delve into, it's hard to understand, but yet that's part of this come and see, is to take up that challenge and to think, what does that vision look like? Not just for us and our family and our home and our equity and all that stuff. What does God's vision mean for our world, our globe, for all of history, of all time? And this come and see is an invitation to look along those lines. Can we see the future that God has put out for us? And that invitation is calling us to that place and to that space and to that time. One of the people who was truly able to do this, truly able to go forth and to see God's vision for the people and for the world was Martin Luther King Jr. On April 3rd, 1968, King famously gave the speech, I've been to the mountaintop. Now, as many of you know, he was in Memphis, Tennessee on that fateful night. He was there working to help sanitation workers who were on strike. On that particular night in 1968, there was a rally going on, a civil rights rally, and King's really good friend was the featured speaker. He, too, was a preacher and a pastor and a civil rights advocate. He was the one who was supposed to give the keynote address. But all day, they kept getting calls and saying, Martin Luther King Jr. is here. Can we call him? Can we have him speak? And so King's friend calls up Martin Luther King in his hotel room and begs him, says, buddy, can you please come and address the crowds? They don't really want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. Now, on that particular night, it was incredibly stormy. There were tornado watches everywhere. Nobody wanted to go anywhere. On top of that, King was exhausted. It said he'd had a marathon schedule. Apparently, he was feeling under the weather. He had a sore throat. But he agreed. He went and he gave that speech, the I've been to the mountaintop speech. In that speech, he spoke with conviction. He spoke without a single note. He spoke clearly off the cuff, and he talked about his future hope for America. He talked about all that they had done in the movement. He talked about his own death and the many death threats that he had received throughout his time of working. He spoke from the heart. And then Martin Luther King Jr., who we have to remember is a preacher of the gospel, first and foremost. He chose to close that famous speech with these words. "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I might not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." The very next day, Martin Luther King was assassinated. He was 39 years old. And yet, I'm sure as if he was standing here today, he would say that he was a man of God who answered the invitation to come and see, and he was able to see the future that God had planned. And his ability to see that future not only changed him, it changed all of history. We have an opportunity when we hear these words to come and see, to see a vision that is grand and huge. And if we can only be convicted with that vision of God, we too can change history. You know, I think a good bit in this Epiphany season about how great Christmas was, but there are limitations to Christmas and to the Christmas Jesus. For the Christmas Jesus is a Jesus that comes to us in our homes, in our lives, on our terms. But Christmas only gets us so far because now we're in Epiphany. And now we're reminded that if this Jesus that came to us is really going to matter, we need to be a people who are willing to come to God and to see this God and let this God be revealed to us. We need to be a people who don't just hear the words of the Christmas story described to us, but a people who hunger for a living, real, true encounter. We hunger for it so much that we are willing to go the distance to come and see the place and the people and the vision that God calls us to have. That's what Epiphany is about, this revelation, and we are called to move from this Christmas to this Epiphany season. Let us, people of Soapstone, hear the words of Jesus today, not just as words read from a page in our Bible, but speaking directly to us, calling us, pleading with us, come and see. Glory to God. Amen.